Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kirvu. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. It is Friday, June 27th. Packers offseason program is over as of last week. The annual rookie symposium is now over for the Green Bay Packers. It's the time of year when things come to a crawl in terms of the NFL news cycle. You know, usually there is no offseason in football, but it is kind of slow right now, I will admit it, and especially so right before the 4th of July. I think the NFL and all NFL teams kind of band together and say, this week, or about 2 weeks or so, is when everybody in the NFL takes vacation. they are definitely, there's for like, next week, nothing will happen in NFL news. It's like the slowest week of the entire year, 4th of July weekend. I think everybody from players to coaches to even the front office, who's usually, you know, they're there when nobody else is, even they say, we're taking vacation 4th of July week. But, without a whole lot of action on the field going on in terms of mini camp being over, even rookie symposium over, there were a few things that happened this week, most of them charity related. And what I wanted to do was kind of honor the Packers individuals who are taking time out of their own personal schedule to take part in charity functions and kind of honor their on the field exploits by discussing them on this show today. In particular, Jarrett Bush, Josh Sitton, and Lane Taylor. If you've been following our Packers calendar here at Cheesehead TV, our daily post telling you what's going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers, you know that today, Friday, June 27th, Jarrett Bush is taking part in a charity golf outing for HopeNet 360. And you can find out more information at HopeNet360.com. So fantastic for Jarrett Bush to be doing this on a Friday, giving back to the community. Jarrett Bush always been a good guy in the Packers organization. So I want to talk about him and then a little bit later talk about a few offensive linemen. But kind of wanted to discuss the prospects for the 2014 season about each of these guys. And as it relates to Jarrett Bush, I'm wondering if Jarrett Bush's last season is 2014 in Green Bay. Kind of harsh for me to honor the guy and be talking about the end of his career. But I think that is the reality of the NFL. Jarrett Bush had a nice, very long, productive career in the NFL in Green Bay from a special teams perspective. He's made it longer in the NFL than most, you know, guys who are strictly special teamers do. Not that he's played strictly special teams, but, that's where he makes his living, I guess, is on those units. And Jarrett Bush is actually one of three players three cornerbacks whose contracts come to an end in 2014. It's interesting because I wonder the future of each of these guys, along with Tremont Williams and Devon House. All three of those cornerbacks, they're in the final years of their contracts. And I couldn't tell you if any one of them is going to be back with the Packers next season, talking 2015. It's a long way away, but they are entering the last season of their contracts this year. This could be it for the end of Jarrett Bush. And, you know, I think every year people are looking for a reason to get rid of Jarrett Bush, or at least, you know, upgrade from Jarrett Bush. But once again, as you could make this case past 3-4 years, I don't see it happening. I think he's the guy on the team who is like your core special teams captain. And it's him who's going to be on the 53-man regular season roster come September, just like he has for the past 7 years or so. Like I said, this might be it. This might be the swan song for Jarrett Bush. But once again, he will still be there. I don't have a whole lot of hopes for him playing much of a role on defense. And his role on defense has always been relatively small, although he always has managed to carve out a role here and there, hasn't he? He's always found a way to make these small little impacts. Or, you know, it's everybody remembers the Jarrett Bush who was getting beat early in his career, burned when he was like the team's nickelback. Well, he's taken on a smaller role, but he's, you know, happened to stand out, most notably Super Bowl XLV in 2011, January of 2011, or was it February, whatever it was. Jarrett Bush coming up with the big time interception of Ben Roethlisberger. Of course, just a major moment in the game and the biggest moment of Jarrett Bush's career. And on top of that, this past season, in the win against the Atlanta Falcons, intercepting a pass intended for Tony Gonzalez and then later breaking up a pass intended for future Hall of Famer Tony Gonzalez, you know, helped the Packers without those two plays. Packers probably don't win that game, and thus, if they don't win those games, they don't make the playoffs. Huge plays for Jarrett Bush. Now, this year, with Sam Shields being re-signed with the Packers, with Tremont Williams holding down the fort at the other cornerback spot, with Casey Hayward coming back from injury, with Micah Hyde, you know, holding his own role on the team, with Devon House there, it's difficult for me to see Jarrett Bush getting much playing time this upcoming season. Now, I mean, that being said, basically, he more than anything, Jarrett Bush has been a slot cornerback, one of those guys who, you know, in interior corner as opposed to the perimeter corner. And I suppose if neither, you know, Casey Hayward or Micah Hyde, if one of those two guys would happen to suffer an injury, I kind of see Casey Hayward as the nickel cornerback who comes onto the field in nickel situations. I see Micah Hyde as the dime cornerback who comes onto the field in dime situations. Now, if either one of those players gets hurt at some point during the 2014 season, that opens up some playing time for Jarrett Bush. You know, one of them gets hurt, Jarrett Bush takes over the dime role. Not a huge role by any means, but a chance for him to come onto the field, contribute defensively. Otherwise, I see him as being status quo pretty much as he's done, you know, for the past several years, as I said before. You know, especially the thing he does better than anything else, Jarrett Bush covering punts. He's the gunner on punt team. And that's where he's been most impressive, from making tackles on the, you know, opposing punt returners to more than anything, downing punts like inside the 20-yard line, inside the 10-yard line, inside the 5-yard line. I mean, how many times has he teamed up with Tim Mastay to down a punt at like the 2-yard line? You know, it's happened more times than I could count off the top of my head. Jarrett Bush, there's such a connection there, and it's obviously something they practice a lot, you know, during practice, special teams with the punt unit in terms of directional punting. And Jarrett Bush knows when it's going to be coming his way, when, you know, Tim Mastay purposely, you know, pins it toward a sideline or something like that. It is something very fun to watch, I think, when they're able to do that, especially, you know, you pin an opponent inside the 5-yard line. That's pretty exciting because all of a sudden it makes it pretty tough on the opposing offense coming out on the field to get out of that poor you know, situation in terms of field position. So, you know, again, just I expect the same from Jared Bush in that the same thing we've seen for the past several seasons. And but this could be coming to a close. It would be difficult for me to see him playing beyond 2014 in Green Bay. Could it happen? Sure. I'm willing to let anything play itself out. I mean, an entire season has to be played for any decisions are made, and he hits free agency next year. Certainly, you know, the next time Jared Bush hits free agency, he's not going to make a whole lot of money because, you know, he's going to be one of the older players on the team by then, and there won't be any teams in the NFL be willing to, you know, commit and invest a lot of money into him. But we'll see how it all plays out. The other two guys I wanted to talk about and spend some time discussing today, a pair of offensive linemen, and kind of take them one at a time, but, you know, being that they both play the same position, kind of plays into one another. But Josh Sitton, I want to discuss because, as we posted here in our Packers micro blog, and you can go check that out if you want in our archives here at CheeseheadTV.com. Josh Sitton, earlier this week, I believe it was on Wednesday, and we posted about it on Thursday here at the website, hosting his inaugural Josh Sitton youth football camp back in his native Florida, where he played both his high school and college football. So, with the Packers offseason over, he goes back to his hometown and throws a youth football camp for children back in, was it Pensacola, I think, off the top of my head. Again, just another cool thing, Josh Sitton taking time out of his own schedule to give back to the community. So in honor of that, you know, I wanted to share another thought here about Josh Sitton. And my thought about Josh Sitton for today is that I'm really disappointed in people who vote for honors in the NFL, and mostly this has to do with, I guess, Pro Bowl voters more than anything else. Josh Sitton made the Pro Bowl after the 2012 season for the first time in his career. He's a one-time Pro Bowler. And Josh Sitton even made it in 2012 as like an injury replacement. So he wasn't even, you know, voted in initially. But what I thought would happen, what I thought is that would be Josh Sitton's foot in the door. All of a sudden, he would be considered from that point forward, from the 2012 Pro Bowl forward, as one of the elite guards in the NFL. You know, I just thought that would catapult him to stardom, makes him a household name. You know, fans across the NFL, you know, not just in Green Bay, start to recognize, oh, you know, Josh Sitton, here he is, you know, Pro Bowler. It's time to give him the honor. But 2013 rolls around, and Josh Sitton, despite a fantastic season as far as offensive linemen go, not voted in to the Pro Bowl in 2013. Not even an injury replacement, not because there was no injuries to replace people, I don't think, on the NFC side of the football. They didn't have AFC, NFC in the Pro Bowl this past year. They had the vote, Team Sanders and Team Rice or whatever it was. Anyway, disappointed Josh Sitton didn't make the Pro Bowl this past season because the guy deserved it. The guy deserves it pretty much annually and has been for years. He just, for whatever reason, doesn't get the recognition. I know, I guess he's not a household name yet among, you know, the casual football fan, but he should be. In getting to watch the Packers, as, you know, if you're listening to this show, you watch the Packers a lot. And you're lucky. I mean, you get to see how good Josh Sitton really is when you watch a team week in and week out, play after play. The guy dominates, unlike you know, most offensive linemen. He's good in both the run and the pass phases of the game, and it truly is something special. The Packers are very lucky to have him, and they gave him a nice contract extension, you know, a few years ago now, what, about 2-3 years back, that locked him up and keeping him with the Packers long term. And, you know, I really wish that he would get, you know, more recognition for what he does. And I, you know, it has mostly to do with the fans, because the fans vote on the Pro Bowl. But I guess I should mention as well, he was voted last year, 2013. Josh Sitton was voted second team All-Pro, which is voted upon by the Associated Press. So even though he wasn't first team, at least he was recognized as one of the four best guards in the entire NFL in making second team All-Pro. So kudos to the Associated Press for recognizing that. I just wish the rest of the football-watching world would catch up to them and realize what a special player he is. Because he really is good, and the Packers are lucky to have him. As far as Josh Sitton's, you know, 2014 season, same thing. It's going to be status quo, and it's going to be that way for a long time. I mean, he's going to be a member of the team's starting lineup, and I mean, he isn't going to be unseated anytime soon. You know, I expect him to be manning the left guard position, and you know, I suppose, by the way, I can talk about how such a good job he did last season in switching positions. You know, he'd started out his career at right guard for the first, what, four seasons of his career. Last season, Packers do the old switch up, switch Josh Sitton to left guard, and you know, doesn't miss a beat. And you know, he's helping on the left side to protect Aaron Rodgers' backside, which is, you know how important that is. So, I mean, good job by Josh Sitton there. And again, I don't see him being unseated anytime soon in terms of being out of the starting lineup. The one thing that did catch your attention is Josh Sitton, you know, according to many reports from multiple beat writers covering the team, at times during the off-season program, sat out reportedly due to a back issue or back tightness. I think Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette in particular, I remember him mentioning that. You know, and again, here we are in June. It's tough to, you know, draw any conclusions or, you know, make any generalities about, you know, Josh Sitton's status and could he be injured and could he be out. I mean, certainly he's got more than a month's time till the start of training camp. There's time for him to heal up. But maybe something to keep in the back of your mind. I rather wouldn't see that at all. I guess I'm glad that it happens in June rather than training camp. Hopefully it's something that doesn't carry over to training camp, because he did miss a few off-season practices in which you remember, like, Don Barclay took his spot at left guard with the first string offense, got some practice time with the first string there this past season. So hopefully doesn't carry over. But again, you know, we're talking about the off season here. If there's a time a player's going to miss, you know, injury situation, best that it come in April, May, June, rather than September, August, November. So hopefully he heals up and is all set to go by the time training camp starts. And hey, if it's not training camp, if Josh Sitton even were to miss some time in training camp and he's healed by the time the regular season starts in September, that's fine too. You know, Josh Sitton, what's he entering? His sixth year in the NFL now? He's been around the block. The Packers know what he's capable of, know what he's doing. you know, if he misses a little time in training camp, that's not the end of the world. If he's ready to go in the regular season, they could plug him and play him, and I'm sure he would be fine. You know, all things being equal, I'd rather him be out for the start of training camp and kind of, you know, just get ready for the regular season with the rest of the first string entire offensive team as they kind of coalesce and come together as a unit and, you know, get used to working with one another. He's, you know, Johnson got to get used to the new center to him at his right. Again, if he misses, not the biggest thing in the world. Finally, the last guy I wanted to talk about today, another offensive lineman, another guard, Lane Taylor, because he, along with Jarrett Bush, actually, took part in Green Bay Kids Day this past Wednesday. We had mentioned that on our last episode of Railbird Central. You know, unique event that the city of Green Bay does every year. Puts on all these free events for kids in Green Bay. Swimming, bowling, baseball games, free transportation on, you know, city public transportation, buses, things like that. A cool event. And several Packers went out and signed autographs for kids at this, you know, lunch event they held at Liked Park in Green Bay. Lane Taylor being one of them, along with a couple other Packers players. And again, in honor of that, discussing Lane Taylor's 2014 season here. As you remember, last year, the Packers signed Lane Taylor as an undrafted free agent out of Oklahoma State. And he became one of the few undrafted free agents to make the Packers' regular season roster. Kind of, you know, overcame the odds to make the team. One of only, I think, three undrafted rookies made the team last year. So not a very high number, as you know, compared to the dozen or plus undrafted rookies that came in. And so really, you know, good job by Lane Taylor just to make the Packers 53-man roster this year. And John on the live blog, I see, does Lane Taylor make the roster this year? That's a good question, and one we'll kind of speculate about here. You know, last year, Lane Taylor doesn't see a whole lot of playing time. I think there was, you know, at one point or another, when injury struck, he ended up being active on the Packers, you know, game day 46-man roster. He might have gotten a little bit of playing time here or there on special teams more than anything else. He may have gotten a handful of snaps on offense. I mean, we are talking about minimal role here in 2013. You know, a good start to his NFL career, just simply making the team. You know, that was more important for him than anything. He showed the Packers something to keep him around. The question is whether there is room to keep him in 2014 and going forward. Because, yeah, as they're pointing out on the blog, that Lane Taylor is kind of, you know, he's maybe the ninth offensive lineman at best on the team. And he's going to have some, you know, competition from the incoming rookie class. They had Corey Linsley this year. But, I mean, if we're just... And it looks like Lane Taylor is almost strictly a guard, which really doesn't help him in terms of being versatile and being able to play center or tackle. If he can do these things, I have yet to see it. And who knows, maybe he really worked on that in the offseason, and maybe there's a little more versatility than meets the eye. But, I mean, to his credit, he can play, I think, and has practiced at both left guard and right guard, which certainly helps, rather than being pigeonholed into one of them. But, you know, I mean, if we look at strictly the guards, of course, Josh Sitton, who we just talked about, and TJ Lang are your two starters, and nobody's going to unseat those guys unless, you know, there's an injury that, you know, forces, you know, things to shift around. But, I mean, assuming everything's, you know, normal, Josh Sitton at left guard, TJ Lang at right guard, And then who are your backups? I mean, I think you're kind of looking at, you know, if we're assuming the starting five offensive line of the Packers is David Bakhtiari at left tackle, sitting at left guard, and it really doesn't matter if it's J.C. Treader or Corey Linsley at center. You know, I think the Packers are probably going to keep both those guys no matter what. Looking at T.J. Lang at right guard and Brian Bulaga at right tackle. So there's six guys we talked about. Now your seventh guy is maybe Derek Sherrod being your swing tackle, left tackle, right tackle. And then you've got Don Barclay, who's kind of your jack of all trades, kind of your top backup at guard, can also back up at tackle, and in a pinch even play center. So, I mean, there you go. There's eight offensive linemen right there. And how many offensive linemen can the Packers keep on their 53-man roster? There have been times when they've kept only seven. I think it's normal to keep eight. I think if they keep nine, it's an awful deep group, and they feel like they don't want to cut that ninth guy because he's really promising. Now, it's going to be tough for Lane Taylor to make that team because, you know, he's probably not the top backup at guard. He's probably behind Don Barclay should anything happen to Josh Sitton or T.J. Lang. You know, he would not be the first guy off the bench, which means he's probably not even active on most game days. You know, the Packers only keep seven offensive linemen active on game day. If there's, you know, another guy on the roster, he's just part of that game day inactive list that every team is required to have every week. That's, you know, it's like six guys. So it's going to be really tough for Lane Taylor, first of all, because he doesn't have the versatility to play tackle or center. And second of all, because he's just caught in a deep situation in that the Packers already have three pretty good guards in Sitton, Lang, and Barclay. So it's going to be really, really tough for them to keep nine offensive linemen. John on LiveLog says, I just have a hard time seeing them keeping nine on the offensive line this year. Kevin Lamb says, the numbers crunch. Yeah, it's going to be tough for a guy like Lane Taylor. And it's too bad because he had such a promising rookie campaign. Again, from the simple standpoint that he made the roster as an undrafted rookie and overcame the odds. You thought, oh, this is a guy who might be a guy for the future who might be able to help the team down the road. But the Packers have a lot of depth, especially when they add an offensive lineman in the NFL draft, when they added Corey Linsley. You know, that's just kind of one less spot for somebody else. Assuming Linsley proves his worth. I mean, and by no means is Corey Linsley guaranteed a roster spot. We talked about this the last episode. You get to about the fifth round, and that's when guys aren't guaranteed roster spots much anymore. From the fifth round, sixth round, seventh rounder, if those guys got to earn their spots, teams will cut a fifth round draft choice. They don't necessarily like to, but if they're not ready, or they're not NFL caliber, NFL quality, they will do it. So, Corey Linsley has got to earn his keep. If J.C. Treader blows him out of the water or something like that, you never know what could happen. We'll wait until training camp to see how that all plays out. That'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on a time where there isn't, you know, a lot of football being, you know, to talk about happenings on the field. But kind of honoring three guys who have been doing a lot of charity work and talking about them. This will be the last episode of Railbird Central till next Wednesday. There will be no episode on Monday. I suppose it's kind of vacation time for me, too. Kind of a long weekend, if you will, taking Monday off from the show. But we'll be back next Wednesday talking about Packers football one more time. So we'll talk to you then. Most every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Cheesehead TV at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Make sure to join us then with the most frequently podcasted Packers podcast on the internet. We'll see you later, folks. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV all week long for all your news needs. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirvoy. I leave you today with a song called All Inside by Kyle Hollingsworth on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.